thank you for the introduction, and thank you all for sticking around for the final talk and for giving me the opportunity to present this work. I'd like to start with just a brief introduction of alfalfa. I'm sure that many of you in the room are familiar with this crop, but it's one of the most important, I better stand back a little bit, one of the most important forage crops in the northern U.S., particularly in terms of ecological services. In corn and soybean rotations, this is a perennial, it's a legume, it can reduce nitrogen, inorganic nitrogen inputs, and improve soil health, soil security. And economically, it's very significant in terms of dairy production, for horse feed and for other feeding operations. The optimum management of alfalfa hinges a lot on nutritive value. And so in cutting throughout the year and throughout the years, you want to manage a stand in a way that is sustainable and that will result in regrowth year after year, but where you're optimizing quality at the same time. That's where you get your milk per acre, milk per ton of forage, or dollar per ton. This is a recent report from a hay auction in Wisconsin, just illustrating that with fairly slight differences in forage quality from one class to the next, we change in tens or hundreds of dollars in terms of per ton of forage. So the economic value of forage quality is not to be undersold. It's very important in terms of optimum management. This concept is familiar to most of us and very relevant to this area, that leaf yield in an alfalfa plant and in many forages plateaus very early in the growth of that plant. That's where all of the nutrients are. Your increasing yield beyond that is largely due to stems and ultimately reproductive growth, which are lower in forage quality. So we enter into this eternal kind of paradigm of decreasing quality with increasing yield, and deciding where to find that happy medium or that sweet spot for a given operation or for given goals in production. Back in the 80s, Drs. Kalu and Fick developed this growth staging system for alfalfa, identifying growth stages 0 through 2 as vegetative, 3 and 4 as bud, 5 and 6 as flower, and then it goes on to seed, to where you would take a handful of stems, growth stage them out, and then dry those growth stages and get an average, or you know, it wouldn't have to dry them actually, it was published recently that it works wet weight too. But you would get a mean stage by weight. And so you get an average growth stage per weight of alfalfa. And that becomes a very good predictor for alfalfa quality. And this has been the system for a long time to base cutting management off of the maturity of the alfalfa. Shifting gears a little bit into some newer technology as it becomes more affordable and more developed for specific applications, we have the ability to make management decisions at the field scale and in a very timely manner. This has a lot of merit over traditional growth staging, both in representing an entire field and in savings in terms of time and labor required to accurately assess a stand through physical sampling. Earlier this year, a paper was published by Starks et al. Out of the Grazing Lands Institute in Oklahoma that canopy reflectance can be used to quite accurately predict forage, alfalfa forage nutritive value. They used a wide range of high resolution spectral data. And kind of my direction from here is to figure out how to integrate that technology into a practical tool that could be used in the field. See, as we increase in spectral range or in spectral resolution or the number of bands that we're measuring, we're increasing cost. So the instrument used to take the measurements in my research and in the study that I mentioned is a ASD field spec. They can run 60,000 and up. Very expensive piece of instrumentation. But the smartphones that we all have in our pockets also have the ability to derive some spectral information just through a digital camera. And with simple attachments, can measure NDVI, picking up on the lower near-infrared bands. And so these simple tools can be affordable and relevant and are using the same technology applied by these research tools. So the objectives of this study were to continue the exploration of analysis of canopy reflectance for predicting alfalfa nutritive value, and to develop reduced models using fewer wave bands and potentially integrating environmental data that is for free or for cheap to see if we can come up with as good of a prediction. This project was managed in Rosemont, Minnesota, on a couple of different stands of alfalfa, the main idea being that we wanted to measure a range of maturity because we needed a range of quality to build our models. So the first year we went out, divided up a stand into a randomized complete block design with 8 replications, and would go out and sample twice a week. So every 3 or 4 days we would go sample. This ended up being a less optimum approach because conditions vary with light from day to day. We had cloudy days, we had windy days. So the data set isn't as tight from that year. The following year, I went out and mowed plots every couple of days with 10 different treatments across 12 reps, and then we would harvest 6 of those and then wait 10 days or a couple weeks and harvest the other 6. So we ended up with a very wide range of maturity, and it was collected under very consistent conditions, which is optimum for the development of these equations or indices. Each time that we sampled, we would scan the plots first with the field spec, and then destructive sampling would follow, looking at yield, quality, and growth staging. So the first item of results to touch on here are that the old system is not broken. Maturity still predicts quality. This is mean stage by weight compared to crude protein and to NDFD, neutral detergent fiber digestibility, with fairly tight correlations. But again, this is a very time-consuming approach. Looking at known spectral indices like NDVI, resulted often in saturation of the index as soon as the alfalfa canopy closed. So in this case, I have time just kind of arbitrarily represented on the x-axis. These were the actual sampling dates, 1, 2, 3, 4. So by the third sampling date, we were already saturating in NDVI, and that index becomes uninformative to us. So the approach take from here is to identify specific wave bands and say develop a vegetative index specifically for predicting forage quality. In doing so, we want to pick wave bands that are, for one, within a range that's reasonable to obtain and of a resolution that's reasonable to obtain, and as few of a number of bands as possible. All of these simplifications pull this down into a more and more practical tool for management. And the other part of this was to integrate environmental data, which is available to all of us and could easily be integrated into a smartphone app or what have you, or the equations that I'm using to make these predictions. In this case, I used growing degree units since the last cut. I also looked at rainfall since last cut, calendar days, a few other environmental parameters, but GDUs for alfalfa since cut was the most valuable as a covariate in my models. Just to provide kind of a visualization of how this variable selection occurs, each of these dots represents a wavelength across the spectrum from 350 to 2500 nanometers, and this is AIC on the x-axis, so where those dots are the lowest, that individual wavelength is the most correlated with crude protein in this case. So by graphing this out and then choosing those minimums, These are the individual wavelengths that by themselves can have some predictability of your response variable. But again, this is from a full range of spectral data. So using 8 wave bands from the full range to predict crude protein, we come up with a fairly well-fitted model, then adding GDUs to that as a covariate really improved our fit. And so this becomes apparent very quickly that environmental data that hasn't currently been integrated into these predictive tools of remote sensing holds a lot of value and could easily be plugged in for a more practical tool. This is a mess, so don't take too much from it, but what I'm doing here is comparing across these different wave bands amongst themselves for correlation so that I can minimize the number of wave bands that I'm using. So my full model of 8 different wave bands minimized AIC for the model, but that's still going to be an expensive unit to build or purchase. So I can see here that I do have a mouse. See, these two bands in the NIR are extremely correlated with each other, so I can select the one that's best correlated with my response variable and throw the other one out because otherwise I'm overfitting or overparameterizing. So kind of minimizing the number of bands used is key. This is using 3 bands only from the visible and near infrared. So I've brought the range into a more reasonable area, and I've selected only 3 bands to predict crude protein, and I've compromised some of the model fit as a result. But then adding GDUs back in again tightens up the model and proves to be a valuable covariate to include. This is the same model with the same 3 wave bands and GDUs applied to predict NDFD. And this is the model that was trained from the 2015 data applied to the 2014. If you'll recall, I said we got a much cleaner, less noisy data set in 2015. I focused on this as the training data set and am using the 2014 as a means of validation. So that's including cloudy days and poor conditions. It's important to note that this is a passive sensor that we're using. And if an active sensor like a green seeker or a crop circle with the right filters would be more consistent in its measurements. I was out there as close to solar noon as I could get and only on clear days and without wind. So moving into a simpler tool allows us to use active sensing, which is more flexible. In conclusion, canopy reflectance integrated with climate information does have strong predictive power of alfalfa nutritive value. And these new models using very few wave bands maintained a good fit across our validation and different forage quality parameters. And again, as I mentioned, the accuracy of passive reflectance is affected by the light conditions. And so active sensors in practice would be more likely to return stable or consistent results. And I'd like to acknowledge my professors, Dr. Scotty Wells and Craig Schaefer, that have helped support this work. Technical support, Eric Ristaw and Josh Larson, and then Farm Intelligence and Farm Nutrients were both companies that allowed me to use their field spec because I actually don't have one of those myself. So for their instrumentation. And with that, I will take any questions.
Questions?
Yes, sir.
The 3 wave bands that you selected, how did they compare with those that are available, say, on the consumer-based stuff like Greenseeker?
Right. So the question is, sorry, I keep getting too close to this thing. The question is, how did the 3 wave bands that I chose or ended up with compare to what's available in a one of these units that's already on the market in terms like a green seeker or crop circle? The bands that not to enclose the specifics, but they're within the green. Obviously, the greener, the higher the protein. That was one of my big indicators that we can see visibly. And there's one band in the near infrared, and there's one in the red. That I'm using. The difference would be that, say, a green seeker does look at a wider window of reflectance for the red and the near infrared, and it calculates NDVI. The crop circles now have interchangeable filters that you could purchase. So that may be my next step with this project, or if anyone wants to collaborate and get a get a crop circle, I think they're a few thousand dollars, the ones that you can customize, but you can actually put in your own filters that are of a given wave band and at a particular point in the spectrum. Other questions? Yes, sir. This is a Roundup Ready.
Is that low lignin?
I don't. No, it's not the low lignin. We do have some plots, you know, assessing the cutting management of the low lignin alfalfa. I was not able to get into that with this project because those have other objectives. Absolutely. I think that the advent of these new transgenic alfalfas, not just Roundup Ready, but the low lignin, the reduced or increased, the condensed tannin alfalfa that will be coming out within the next year or two, I believe, for genetics. These change the game in terms of how forage is managed. So if you're used to cutting at first flower or 10% bud or whatever, forage quality means something entirely different at that growth stage for a reduced lignin variety. So approaches like this, I can't say because I haven't tested across a range of varieties, but I would think that the spectral reflectance that we're measuring is based on the biophysical status of that plant. You're measuring the physics. You're not looking at whether or not there's a bud or a flower or how tall the stem is. So in terms of the chemistry and the physics behind this technology, I would think that these equations would transfer with some integrity across varieties. But that's a study for another day as well. We should, you know, implement the same approach across a wide range of varieties. Thank you.
Another question? Hey, Liz, thanks. See you guys.
Thank you.